Good morning. It is January and it is cold out and it's Sunday morning and this is Old Lion, Young Lion, and we are excited to be with you on a Sunday morning. And we have been now on this show for a little bit over a month here on WPTR. We have really, really enjoyed this experience, sharing with you the Word of God and boldly like lions. And we know, some may ask, why do you call your show Old Lion, Young Lion? And we have a couple of answers for that. Number one is that we believe that we work for the greatest lion of all time, and that is the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, the one and only Jesus Christ. And we believe that he has set us on a mission to preach the gospel, and we believe this radio show is part of doing that. Now, I am the Young Lion, and my name is Anthony Stafford, and I'm here with Sam Hazleton, the resident Old Lion, and we are part of the pastoral team of Electric City Baptist Church, located in the heart of Schenectady County at 2350 Hamburg Street. We'd love for you to come and visit, and we gather all throughout the week, and our primary gathering time is Sunday at 10:30, and we want to invite you out to come and share the word and meet some of the people at our church. So we have been digging through the Word of God over the past six episodes, and now we're coming to a new book, and we want to introduce that to you. But before we do, a quick challenge that we have put out to all of our listeners is that we would love to hear from you. And we now have an email address that you can email, reach out to us and ask a Bible question or suggest a topic. And that email address is oldlionyounglion@gmail.com. We'd love for you to email us at oldlionyounglion@gmail.com, and maybe your question or topic will make the show. Now, one of the traditions that we have here on Old Lion, Young Lion is that we like to start our show off with a word of prayer. We hope that you're listening in. We hope that you'll take a deep breath and go along this journey with us as we uncover truth and speak it boldly. But let me ask Sam Hazleton here, the Old Lion, if you could kick off our show with a word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for this opportunity to speak over the radio airwaves. We do pray today that the gospel message, which is described in your word as seed, would get into the hearts of the people that are within the sound of our voice, and their hearts are described in your word as soil. And we pray that the seed would find good soil today, and it would grow and bear fruit. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And we pray a blessing over all of you that are listening, that the Lord is guiding you. And we don't know exactly what you're walking through or what you've gone through over the past few months or whatever's happening in your life, but we'd love for you to get a little bit closer to God and hear from his word. And I am extremely excited about our new next few weeks in the book of Colossians. And it is not a hidden fact, if you know me, that this is my favorite book in the entire Bible. And I'm sure that I will be able to convince you that it should be your favorite book in the entire Bible if you follow along with us. So we've been talking about this cosmic drama and how God is unveiling his redemptive plan for all of mankind. And we've talked about it from page one of the Bible to page done of the Bible. And we just finished up the book of Jonah. And Paul, who is the writer of Colossians, has some connections to Jonah.
Very similar character. Just as Jonah, we found, was called by God to go and bring the word of God to the Ninevites, and he went in the other direction. God dramatically changed his life, brought a storm, and finally Jonah did what God said, and it wound up bringing the word of God, bringing repentance, bringing revival to this huge Gentile city. And likewise, Paul the Apostle, here he was a Jewish man. He was rising very fast. He was a young man and rising very fast among the Jewish hierarchy. He was well known, well learned, learned from the greatest scholars, Gamaliel and others. And when the church was launched at the day of Pentecost, Paul was very upset as a Jewish man about what was happening in the church. So Paul decided to start persecuting the church, right. And he got letters from the high priest to go into the homes of those who were following Christ, drag them before the Sanhedrin, drag them before the high priest, and have them punished, have them imprisoned. And he was viciously going after the church. And one day on his way to Damascus, Syria, where he was sent to do the same thing there, it's about 90 miles from Jerusalem, on his way at midday, a light comes from heaven. He hears a voice from the Lord Jesus who says, Saul was Paul's name previously, his Hebrew name. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. And Paul said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, but go to Damascus and it will be shown to you what you should do. And Paul was struck blind from that encounter with the Lord Jesus. He went to Damascus. He was there 3 days, no food, no water. The Holy Spirit spoke to a man named Ananias, told him to go lay hands on Paul so that he could regain his sight and so that he could be filled with the Holy Spirit. From that time on, Paul preached boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus everywhere he went. And when he preached places, Paul was a lightning rod. Wherever he went, there was a riot and a revival. And he spent a lot of time in prison, because he would go and riots would break out. He would be dragged into prison. And that's kind of why you have your Bible today. Paul wrote 13, at least 13 of the books in the New Testament. There's 27 books in all in the New Testament. Paul was the author of 13 of them, possibly 14. There's another book called Hebrews, which many believe that Paul was at least part author of that book. So
you can go and read about this Paul's conversion and story in the book that's called the Book of Acts, and specifically the part of the story that Brother Sam here just shared with us is in Acts chapter number 9. And you may want to go read this, because after we get into the book of Colossians, you may ask the question, how is this possible that somebody who was anti-Christ gets converted to following God and then goes on an absolute rampage serving God everywhere that he goes? He becomes a major player in the early church and, as you said, significantly involved in comprising the Bible that we now have today.
Right, and he, like Jonah, who went and spoke to the Gentiles, Paul became this Hebrew of Hebrews. He was a Jewish man, and he was used by God to bring the word of God to all the Gentile nations. And by the time of Paul's death, the gospel had reached just about everywhere in the Roman Empire.
And this goes along with what we've been talking about in the cosmic drama, that God has a perfect will that he wants carried out. And though his will is perfect, he uses imperfect and broken people to do and follow through with what God would like to have happen. So God uses this man Saul, who he changes his name to Paul, to write the actual books that are now delivered not only to the churches of 2,000 years ago, but also to you and I today.
Yes, and Paul wrote this letter to the Colossian church. Colossae was a city in Asia, which is now Turkey, and Paul wrote this letter. He was in prison at the time, and Paul spent a lot of time in prison, as I mentioned before. And most of these letters that he wrote were written from prison. He had some time on his hands. And so we're all thankful today that he did have to spend this time in jail, even though I'm sure it wasn't enjoyable for him, because it gave him the opportunity to write what is now our Bible.
100%. And I think as we dive into this short book, Colossians is only 4 chapters. And let me encourage you that if you're listening to this, you can, when this show is over, you can go and open your Bible, and it'll take you about 20 minutes to read through this book. I would highly encourage that you open your Bible up, you go to the book of Colossians, and you read through it. It is power-packed with truth. It is filled with messages that you need for today. And the Bible is relative 2,000 years ago, and it's relative today, maybe now more than ever.
Right. So where do we want to start today?
Oh, man. Okay. Chapter number one. Chapter number one of the book of Colossians. And again, you're going to hear my excitement throughout this whole series as we go through Colossians. Now, our original plan is to just go through the next 4 weeks in Colossians, but we may stay here for months. If I had my choice, we'd stay in this book for months. So let me just jump right into a couple verses that I think are important. And then we'll kind of talk about the themes that are in this first chapter of the book of Colossians. Now, just so you kind of understand how some of the books of the Bible are comprised, is there's chapters and verses. Now, it's not necessarily like maybe a story book that you've read before. Paul is writing a letter to a church. So imagine now if you were a church 2,000 years ago and a leader from a distance sends you a letter and mails it to you, or sends it, you know, by hand, by a messenger, and then they were to come on a Sunday morning all together into one room and open up this letter from Paul and read it. And this is how it starts out. It says that Paul is an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God and Timothy, our brother. Then it has this extremely powerful setting off of the book in chapter 1, verse number 2. He says that this letter is written to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ. Now, that's unusual language for you that might be listening out here today. But let me just parse something out for a second, just so we could understand how this book is kicking off. This is not written to people that would qualify themselves as just people who go to church. This is not written to people who might just say with their mouth that they're Christians. This is not written to people who are on some list that says that they're a part of an organization that helps people out. He says he's writing this to the saints of God and the faithful brethren that live in this town of Colossae. That is a qualification that's very important, because this book is packed with so much power. It demands that not only you be a saint of the Most High God, but also a faithful brother in Jesus Christ. And that's just the very first couple verses of the book.
Yeah, and that kind of touches on the saints and faithful brethren. That touches on both types of relationships, a vertical relationship with God and a horizontal relationship with people in the church.
It kicks right off that this book is not just something for you to read and get a quick fix of wisdom, but it actually is a way of life. That your relationship with the Most High God directly above you and your relationship with your fellow brethren around you is so important to you knowing what's inside this eternal word of God. So if we kind of follow through this first chapter of Colossians, there's another thing that I want to pick up on that I think everybody needs to know, and it sets the stage for the rest of the book. Not only that, everyone that reads it and everyone that hears this originally needs to be a saint and a fellow brethren. But then in verse number 5, this is what the Bible says. You got to hear this. It says, Paul thanks God. Paul, the writer of this book, he thanks God for the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come unto them. And here's what that means. That Paul is thankful that these people at this city have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. So now, you ask, well, what's the gospel of Jesus Christ? Now, simply put, and we can break this out another time, but simply put, the gospel of Jesus Christ is that Jesus came from heaven and died on the cross and rose again so that he can give forgiveness of sins to all those that place their faith in him. So Paul says, I'm thankful that you heard the word of the truth of the gospel. Then he keeps on with this thought, and he says, because the truth of the gospel brings forth fruit. There is no other force on this side of heaven that is more powerful to change a person's life than the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Right. In Romans chapter 1, it says the gospel is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. And so we have this seed of the word, the seed of the gospel that gets planted in the heart, the soil of our hearts. And it germinates. That's a miracle from God. When a seed germinates, whether a baby is conceived, whether a plant of wheat germinates, that's a miracle from God, a creation of life, and it just grows. It has to have good soil, has to have sunlight, has to have water. But that seed is going to grow if you give it the right conditions. And when the gospel hits the heart of a human being, given the right conditions, that person's in fellowship with other people, that person's in communication, in communion with his Father, that's like the sunlight, it is going to grow. This thing is going to bear fruit. It's going to increase and make an explosion of a great harvest.
You may be out there listening to this, and you can hear the excitement in our voices because of how powerful the gospel is. You might have felt that you've done everything out there in the world and you're still searching for some answers. You still feel like there's some fulfillment left to be had. You may be out there and you've had a broken Christmas season. You've had a broken holiday season. You've had a hard winter so far, and you're saying, I just want answers. Well, let me call you to this. This gospel, this truth of the word of the gospel is what you need. I don't care if you don't care about religion. I don't care if you call yourself a Christian. I don't care if you don't call yourself a Christian. If you call yourself a Jesus follower or you don't call yourself a Jesus follower, you need the gospel. And that's what this whole book is all about. So it starts out with Paul writing this letter to the faithful brethren. He talks about how powerful the gospel is. And then he goes into this 5-verse prayer that he gives them, kind of notifying us that Paul has a wonderful, wonderful prayer life.
Yeah. And so this is another thing. When Paul spent all this time in jail, he had plenty of time to both write letters to the churches. He also had plenty of time to pray, and he gave himself to prayer. He tells us in other places that there was like a heavy weight on him, a heavy burden on him of concern for the churches and how they were doing. We have to understand that this man, very different from Jonah. Jonah delivered his message and then just went up on a hill and just waited for God to destroy them. Paul had in his heart, he cared so much about the people, these Gentiles that he brought the word of God to. He wanted to make sure they were doing well. He wanted to make sure that they were growing in their faith. He wanted to make sure that they were overcoming trial, overcoming temptation. And so he would get on his knees and pour his heart out, and really, he calls it laboring and struggling in prayer.
And I love that. I think that in a world where everything can be instant, in a world where you can get on demand, in a world where you can have it your way, there's an idea that the true disciple of Jesus Christ labors and works and endures. There's a unique greeting that Paul gives to the church here at Colossae where he says, grace and peace. Grace and peace. He later on will say, he will talk about patience. And we think of these words, grace and peace and patience, as some kind of effectual emotion. But in reality, this idea of grace and peace and patience come from God. There's patience to endure, patience to work, patience to keep on going for how God wants Paul to keep on going. But Paul makes this prayer happen in chapter 1. At the end of the prayer, he says, I want to thank God for something else. I thank God who thought that it was good for me to be a partaker of the kingdom of light. Which brings us to an interesting point, Sam. Old Lion, I'd like you to speak on this a little bit. There is this contrast in the book of Colossians and throughout all of the Bible, throughout the entire cosmic drama, of the kingdom of light versus the kingdom of darkness.
Right. And if you look down in verse 13, it says, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And so one thing that we have to understand here is that we all look out and we have these five senses. We have sight and hearing, and we have smell and taste and touch. These senses that we have. What we have to understand, though, is there is a spiritual reality that is behind what our five senses can recognize. In this spiritual reality is more real than what is in front of us. What's in front of us, this table that I'm sitting at right now, it feels so real. But there is a real reality, the spiritual reality, that is enduring forever, that is behind this reality. And everything that's happening here is really a reflection of what's going on in that real reality, in that spiritual kingdom. And there is a kingdom of darkness, a domain of darkness, and there's a kingdom of light. This goes back to the very, very beginning. We learn in Isaiah chapter 14 in the Old Testament, in Ezekiel chapter 28 in the Old Testament, that there was a time God had created the heavens. He created the heavens and the earth. He created angels. Satan, our enemy, the deceiver, the serpent that we learned about in the very first episode, He was originally a beautiful angel, one of the top angels in he was a guardian cherub, the Bible says, and he grew proud in his own beauty, and he decided, it says in Isaiah 14, he says, I don't want to be number two. I want to be number one. He wanted his throne to be exalted above the stars of heaven, equal, on an equal footing with God himself, the creator. He grew proud in his heart, and we learn later from Jesus himself that Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And so this is how things started. Now there are two kingdoms, the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of his beloved son. And we've been, all of us, at one time or another, were part of the kingdom of darkness. And you have to come to grips with that reality, that all of us were part of that kingdom of darkness, and we need to be transferred to the kingdom of his beloved son.
Now, I think that's a great thought to consider, that there is a supernatural reality that's behind what we see. Now, a lot of us kind of understand that there's kind of dark places in the world that we don't like to visit, we don't like to really talk about, but the Bible makes it kind of upfront and clear in regards to these two kingdoms. There's just two. There's the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. Now, Sam, I have a kind of question that I'd like you to think about, and maybe even give some thoughts on this, is what are some characteristics or thoughts about what the kingdom of darkness looks like? How is it operating? What does it look like in our modern day right now?
Yeah, it's a great question. And so we learn in the book of Galatians in chapter 5, it says this, the works of the flesh are obvious. And then it lists some various sins, sins like drunkenness, sins like sexual immorality, sins like witchcraft, all these things that we see everywhere in our society right now. These are the works of the flesh, and this is a reflection of the kingdom of darkness. And so what the king of the kingdom of darkness, that is Satan himself, is trying to do, he's trying to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And so he tempts us with things that seem good on the surface, but actually are going to rob us of joy, rob us of life, rob us of eternal life.
Wow. Wow. That's so good. And I think there's an idea that needs to be kind of dispelled out there, that we're all children of God, that every single person is a child of God. Now, it is true that every single person is an image of God, and they are created in the likeness of God, but the Bible makes a very specific contrast and delineation that there are two kingdoms, one of light and one of dark, one that Jesus reigns over and one that Satan reigns over. And the Bible tells us that before we come to know who Jesus Christ is, that we are under the instruction of the prince and power of the air, Satan, and we are known as the children of disobedience.
That's right.
Until we come to know this Jesus Christ. And Paul is kicking off this letter in a strong way to let us know, hey, you used to be in the kingdom of the dark, in kingdom of darkness. Now you've been translated, moved into the kingdom of Jesus Christ.
Right.
And now you might ask this question, and maybe we'll just spend a little bit of time talking about it. But now, how in the world is it possible for someone to be powerful enough to translate me or move me from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light? And that's a great question. And the next part of this book in Colossians describes the king of the kingdom of light.
Right. And this is a little spoiler alert for this cosmic drama. Jesus wins in the end. And he is victorious. The kingdom of darkness has an expiration date on it. And Satan is going to be cast into the lake of fire, and all workers of evil, everybody that remains a captive in his kingdom of darkness, is going to be separated from the presence of God forever.
Well, it starts out describing this king of light. And you might think he's come to take over thrones and be in charge of the whole world. He's going to be the strongest king that there ever was. And to some degree, that's true. But the great thing about this king of the kingdom of light is how it starts out to describe him. It says, in him, we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now, you might have a lot of desires in the world. You might want a new car. You might want a new house. You might like to go on vacation. But let me tell you what every single soul, every single human out there is yearning for, desiring, and really, really badly would like to have. And that's forgiveness of sins. But it only comes by the King who lays his life down for his people. It only comes for the Savior and Redeemer of the world who out of his own love decides to lay his life down so that we can be moved into the kingdom of light. And that Savior and that King and that Redeemer through his own blood on the cross is Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Colossians kicks off this lesson so strong, so powerful, and we sit there and we might read it and not understand how deep and wonderful it is that Jesus offers you the forgiveness of sins through his blood and then gives you purpose and mission because he ever only wins.
It's interesting. We skipped over this verse, Colossians 1:11, and this is Paul praying for the Colossian church, and he says, "May you be strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy." And this goes back to something that Anthony said earlier. We, as Christians, as believers in Jesus Christ, receive the power of God. The power of God dwells within us. It says, it's described in the book of Ephesians, that this is the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is now living in us. But it's interesting. We don't turn into these superheroes that are just going and smashing everybody. This power, what is it for? It says this power is to enable us to endure suffering. The power is there to give us patience while we wait for Jesus to return. The power is there to allow us to go through difficult circumstances in life and still have the joy of the Lord.
Wow. Wow, that is so strong. I'd encourage you to look up the book of Colossians and take your time reading it. You know, we're really not a show that's looking to be politically based. We're not interested in giving you top 10 reasons how you can advance your career. What we are as Old Lion, Young Lion is two men who seek to uncover truth and then declare it boldly. The Bible teaches us clearly that the righteous speak bold as lions. And we're doing that today. That this first 14, 15 verses in the book of Colossians is powerful to all those that read it. I hope that you stay with us over the next few weeks as we dive even deeper into this book. I believe that you will have a massive benefit if you stay with us as we continue to preach and shout out this truth with power and conviction.
See you in church.